So last week, our youth came back after the summer vacation, and we had this wonderful ceremony we call the Flying Up Ceremony as they move forward into the next year and into their next experiences. And so I talked about stepping forward. Well, a part of stepping forward has to do with discerning and focusing on what's important. So that's my talk title for today, focusing on what's important. Can you remember ever going out with your little magnifying glass and looking for bugs in the grass? Well, haven't done that for a while, but it's a wonderful sort of metaphor for our willingness to begin to focus. And isn't it pretty easy in life to just kind of go along, you know, with what is and with status quo and sort of the habit and what's normal? And we don't really think about taking the time apart to focus, to really determine what is truly important for us. And, you know, we certainly have an awful lot of things in our lives that distract us from that process. And yet, if we are going to be moving forward, you know, with our youth, they go back to school. So, you know, they kind of, like it or not, they kind of get propelled forward. But do we take the time as adults to kind of take stock and begin to look at what is important to us? And are we, in fact, engaging in those things? So think about some of the distractions that keep us from doing that. And those of you at home can go ahead and post, and we can shout some out, but what about the busy, oh, there comes the sound. I was wondering about that. It didn't seem like I was fully, I'm on. I'm on now. Yeah, the sound is better here in the room. So think about the busyness of our lives, right? And whether you're a school mom and you're rushing your kids to all their events, whether you're in business, whether you're retired, there are so many things in our world that vie for our attention. What about fear and doubt? How much do they distract us from that which we might otherwise feel is important in our lives? What about pleasing other people? Those thoughts that come in when we're, oh, maybe I'll try something new. Oh, but so-and-so wouldn't like it, so better not do that. What are the things that distract you? We all know, my gosh, social media, for heaven's sakes, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, and on our phones. I mean, I am like Pavlov's dog on my cell phone when a text comes in. Part of being a minister is to be available. And yet I take that, I think, to an nth degree because I get so used to being right on the spot right there when the text goes off. And it does a little nice little bell for me. How about you? What about all the notifications? Do you get notifications either on your cell phone or on your tablet or something when somebody posts something on Instagram or a Twitter feed comes through or something? Yeah. And what do? It's like, you know, that whole thing we talk about the dogs, we take them out for a walk, and then they see a squirrel, and they go, squirrel, oh, squirrel, here I go, and we run around. And that's what we do as humans because we pay so much attention to our outer world. From scripture out of Mark 4, verse 19, it says, "But all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life." And the message being the message the disciples were teaching. By the worries of this life. And from Galatians 1:10 it says, "Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people?" So how many times in life do we get pulled off course, get distracted by the stuff of the outer world, because that's where our focus is. And then the fears or the worries, we're not good enough, we can't accomplish this, there's not enough money, there's this, there's that, there's a deadline to meet, there's the shoulds, there's the have-tos, and we just go right down the rabbit hole, don't we? And so what happens to the dreams that we have? What happens to the things that are truly important in our life? They get covered up. They get pushed aside. Or we just plain give up and don't even pursue. Robin S. Sharma, who is a Canadian author, he is a stress management consultant in spirituality, and he says the challenge for so many of us is that we are so deep into daily distractions and being busy, 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 that we miss out on those moments and opportunities that would get our lives to a whole new level of wow. And Stan Getz, how many of you remember the girl from Ipanema goes walking? Yeah, yeah. Some of us are old enough for that one. Yeah, Stan Getz was an amazing jazz saxophonist. And he said, life is too full of distractions nowadays. When I was a kid, we had a little Emerson radio, and that was it. We were more dedicated. We didn't have any choice in the matter. And so we can, friends, really be aware. If we are seeking to step forward to maybe accomplish a new dream or to just simply have more space or time in our lives, we can begin to recognize that it's up to us to be choiceful about doing that. And in order to do that, we need to begin discerning what really is important. And if we watch TV and commercials and listen to everything, they're more than willing to tell us what they think we should have as important in our lives. And the news, oh my gosh, the news. But friends, there is a process by which we are able to shift from our consciousness in the outer world as humans, because our egoic mind is going all the time with judgments, with outer experiences, is it not? Yeah. But there is an opportunity to begin making choices differently in order to step away from all the shoulds and the have-tos that come flying at us, whether our parents' messages, whether the messages from the news, whether the messages from our boss at work, whether old inculcated habits and messages have shoulds and have-tos in them, it doesn't leave a lot of room for our hearts to sing. For our hearts to expand, to explore, and to discern differently than constantly looking to our outer world for answers. Tony La Russa, those of you who are baseball fans would know he was a professional ball player and a coach. He said there are always distractions if you allow them, if you allow them. And Tara Stiles, who is a yoga instructor and author and a model, she says, when we follow when we allow distractions to wobble us away from ourselves, that's when our intuition starts to fade and our focus dulls. So friends, if we are, Susan, yeah, what do we got?
So I wanted to share, Adrian Nichols said, a lot of times I turn my phone off and just leave it somewhere, and even get in my car and drive without my phone, just to focus on things around me and not my cell phone.
Thank you. Yeah, how many times do we turn off our phones? Well, and I'm particularly not good at doing that. Many of you may be. Or stepping away from the computer, or stepping away from the news, or, you know, the TV programs. And it doesn't mean that any of that is a negative thing. It just means that it distracts us from knowing if it is truly what we want to focus on and how much we want to focus on it. So again, don't even hear my speaking of it in terms of, there's another shouldn't have to, okay, throw your phone out in the river, you know, and don't ever go online and don't look at Instagram. So that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is let's begin to be aware, choicefully, of the things that distract us from our own inner truth. And so to engage in discovering and focusing on what's truly important, it requires prayerful discernment. Focusing on what's truly important requires prayerful discernment. We don't always think of that because we see all the stuff. We're busy at work and people are throwing stuff at us and we're looking at things. We seldom stop to pray first, right? We pray when we're in trouble or we pray after the fact. We don't usually stop and pray first. And by prayer, it can mean a whole variety of experiences of simply shifting out of our own human locus of awareness, breathing into something different, taking time apart from the crowd, resting for a while, having fun, playing. All of that can be a part of your prayer time that allows each of us to begin discerning more clearly what is really important. From our founders of Unity, Charles was one of the founders, and his second wife, Cora Fillmore, they wrote The 12 Powers of Man. He says, we find that there is in man a knowing capacity transcending intellectual knowledge. Nearly everyone has at some time touched this hidden wisdom and has been more or less astonished at its revelations. Have you ever had, you know, just sort of that impulse or that intuitive knowing just come forth? And it's like, whoa. And it brought a good message or a healing or an idea or a thought. And that's what Charles is speaking of. He said, we should quicken our discernment and our ability to choose good. This wisdom of spirit is man's through the all-knowing and all-discerning power of spirit within him, within us. And we need never fear going wrong if we listen to this divine intuition. So friends, how often do we take time apart instead of making our decision from what everybody else tells us, from the overwhelm we experience at work and the busyness, busyness, busyness? How often do we take time to just be still and to explore in the heart of our being with all the limitations and the restrictions that come from old habits of thinking with old, from old beliefs around what we can do or what we can accomplish, but to simply listen. Listen into the heart of our being. And what is it that makes our soul sing? What is it that inspires us? What is it that we choicefully, really, truly want to focus on doing or accomplishing? And when we set aside all the parts of us that say, oh, well, this is okay, but that's not. When we do not place restrictions, we can begin recognizing that things like taking time to look at Instagram or to watch all the videos that come through on all the ads on the phones is a wonderful thing at times. Or taking time to take that nap. Or to sleep late in the morning, or to go for a walk along the river or out in nature. See, when we begin to shift our focus of attention from the outer world and all the things we're told out here into this knowing of the spirit, into this connection to our inner higher consciousness, we will begin discerning a difference of a prioritizing in our lives of what's important. You know, I grew up in a generation where he who has the most toys when he dies wins. It was all about accumulating wealth and things. The best car, the nicest house. A lot of that was a part of that generation. And I think, you know, in Generation X and now Generation Z, there's a whole nother focus. And those of us who thought, you know, work hard and oh my gosh, they aren't stepping up to the plate or, you know, any of the judgments that we have, they come from our background. And if we step outside of all those old restrictions and let our minds be totally creative, we can embrace not accumulating so many things, but we can embrace opening our heart. We can embrace feeling a sense of peace. We can embrace a sense of slowing down. From scripture in Colossians 3:2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Meaning set your mind as you listen into the heart of your being. Now, of course, this on things above, meaning above the flim-flam stuff of the human world. So place your mind on those things, not on the earthly things. And from 2 Timothy 1:7 in Scripture, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of sound judgment, friends. So as we begin choosing to focus on what's truly important to us, it's about a willingness to take some time apart. It's about a willingness to set aside old belief systems. It's a willingness to see what's important to us and to choose to begin practicing that focus. Because it's really easy, you know, like, oh, think I'll go to the gym and start working out. And that may be because we think we should. And I'll tell you, for the most part, if we do it because we think we should, or others think we should, that going to the gym doesn't last too long, does it? No. If we have an internal, true desire to go to the gym, to work out, or to learn to play the piano, or to take a cooking class, or to begin to paint, if we have a true desire for that begins to blossom within us, and we focus on that as being important. We don't always have to figure out how we're going to do that ahead of time. We don't have to have all the ducks lined up in a row. But by the intention of the focus of our thinking, connecting with infinite spirit, we begin to open every avenue before us, allowing spirit to bring that forth into our lives. And we may find that it's not about Nike, just do it. It's not about the more I get done, the better I am. It's not about hurry, hurry, hurry. It might be, what would it be like to slow down? What would it be like to be okay to slow down? So this process of focusing on what's truly important to us becomes a journey, becomes a practice for us. A willingness to listen to spirit, to that still small inner voice. And from scripture in Psalm 32:8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And what that means, I will guide you with my eye, it's referring to the higher inner wisdom. Higher inner wisdom. And from Ephesians 5:15-16, it says, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Now, when you hear make the best use of the time, how many of you click to, honestly, come on, raise your hands. Yeah. Maybe not everybody. But that's an old trigger statement. Oh, you better make the best use of your time. How many times have we heard that? And it goes into our human egoic brain and then propels us to do all kinds of stuff that really isn't what's our focus and what's important to us. And so I would invite us to embrace this scripture, making the best use of our time, taking that into your soul, into your heart, into your solar plexus, and recognizing the best use of time is many of the things I said before. Being still, taking a walk, slowing down. So it is our willingness to notice. Notice the pathways of our minds, the way we think, how we focus in our outer world, what our outer world teaches us versus our willingness to connect deeply to spirit and have it guide us in what's important in prioritizing these things in our lives. Have we had anyone else that wanted to share anything, Susan?
No, but we did have a few more people come on. I wanted to mention Terry and Christina are on.
Hey,
Terry, Christina says, good morning, beautiful people. And I also wanted to share, Donalyn said earlier, good morning all, I love and I'm grateful for you all. And Cecilia said, good morning, Unity family. Sherry and I send our love and care to you all this beautiful Sunday. And Vicky sends blessings to all.
Doesn't that feel good?
And we just had Katrina Andrews come on, and she said, be the love of your life.
Oh, Katrina, hi. I'm so glad you joined us. Oh, wow. Yeah. Wonderful to have you with us.
And, you know, when we hear from these people, it's like, I don't even have a camera back there, so I sort of think I did not see through the masses.
These people, you guys are looking forward this way, but it's wonderful to be embraced and feel those that we love, you know, participating, and, you know, not everyone always wants to make a comment. And so for those of you that haven't, we embrace you also. But it's wonderful to have them say hello. So I wanted to share a quote from Carl Honoré. He is an international best-selling author of the book called Power of Slow. The Power of Slow. He's oftentimes featured on TED Talks. Many of you are familiar with wonderful speakers on the TED Talks. And he says, research has shown that time pressure leads to tunnel vision and that people think more creatively when they're calm, unhurried, and free from stress and distractions. See, that kind of goes against what we were always taught, or those of us that are a little older, and I think things are changing now, because I think the pace is shifting, even though our youth are on social media and those kinds of things, but they also aren't embracing old paradigms of belief that in the ways that we have. So I'm just inviting you to consider slowing down this next week, finding out as you slow down how that opens you to be receptive to what is really important to you. And Miriam Hasna, she's of the New Earth Mystery School. She's a highly sensitive intuitive. And her advice is to disconnect from everything long enough to see if it feeds your soul or if it's a distraction. What's deeply connected will always remain. So if you are willing to disconnect from all the other stuff, from all the outer mind habits, all the rabbit holes we go down, all the squirrels we chase, if you're willing to disconnect from those long enough to listen to the inner still small voice, we are indeed guided. We are loved. We are upheld. We are supported. We are nurtured. And in that space, it allows us to truly determine what's important to us and to be able to focus more clearly on manifesting and accomplishing those things in our lives. So in closing, I will say, share from a keynote speaker, psychologist Bill Crawford. He says, here is a process for discernment. Say to yourself, God is my ultimate source of truth and wisdom, and dwells forever at the center of my being. Therefore, any thought, emotion, or action that takes me further away from my center can be neither truthful nor wise. So friends, if you would like this particular quote, you can go to www.unitymichiana.org, to our website, because each Sunday all the talks are posted and all of the quotes and everything that I use as scripture are posted also. You might want to put that on your refrigerator to just remind you, or maybe the bathroom mirror to remind you to take time apart to discern differently and to allow the truth of your soul and your being to guide you forward. So next week I'll sort of be doing, this was kind of a part one, I'll be doing part two, and I'll be talking about spiritual tools to help us in discerning what's important.